So can you put my first picture up? So this is my family. There's Eric, Ezra, and Ella. Ezra's birthday is today. He's 13. So I'm here with all of you until 4, and then at 5 o'clock, I have to be at the party. And Ella just turned 10, and they are precious. They are my gifts from God. I'm getting emotional already, you guys. This is my family farm that I grew up in Pratt. And this was our refuge for the last 5 years. The yellow house on the side is my great-grandparents' house. That's been available for us to use. We've been paying rent to the family HOA, which is my parents and my aunt and uncle. I just call them that because it's kind of funny. So the farm HOA allows me to stay in the farmhouse. Recently we moved, so we just recently moved, which I'll get to tell you about that while I share. But this has been our refuge for the last 5 years, as God has been showing us what it means to trust him as we abide. A day in the life right now is the kids will wake up when we do homeschool in the morning. Wasn't always the plan, but I always had a yearning for that. I had a desire, and then God made a time for that, and I'll talk about that too a little bit. And then after that, hopefully we're done by 12, by 1 o'clock, I'm like, I'm done. I got to go to work. So at 1 o'clock, I go and I do my own home business, which is a residential design business. I graduate with an architecture degree in college, and so I do a few jobs a year just to keep me able, and I focus on helping the kids with homeschool and what they need and raising them. And then all that time, while we're doing that stuff during the day, Eric is sleeping because he's getting ready to go to work at 6 o'clock and drive to Dallas, where he works at West Valley Hospital, at night from 7 to 7, so he gets home about 8:30 to our house in the morning. And so during his shifts, we kind of have this flip-flop. But the great thing about it is that it stays there, and then he comes home, and on his days off, he's all ours. We don't have to share him, which is a new concept in our life. So that's the day in our life right now, what God has provided for us. Let me pray so that I can hopefully come together and share without totally not being able to share because I'm crying. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for all these women that you brought here. You've brought each one of us here together to abide with you and abide together and to share our lives together and to hear what you want to impart into each of our souls. So we just open our hearts to you. We silence the room from any voice that's not from you. We do not have room for that here. God, your voice is the only voice that we allow in this space right now. Thank you, Father. So I love the topic, fruit of abiding. Fruit of abiding, to me, is freedom. When we abide with the one who created us, he shows us who we are, and he frees us from all the burdens and the lies, and the fears, the false beliefs that we have taken on over time. And he takes that when we give it to him, and then he gives us freedom in exchange. He gives us his truth about those things. And so freedom is what fruit of abiding to me is, and that's a lot of what my talk is going to be about, is the freedom that he's showing us, the freedom that he's giving to each one of us. I have a friend who says, you can't give away what you don't have. And that's so true, because if I'm not free, how do I free other people? How do I give them freedom if I myself have chains and have these burdens that keep me weighed down and I'm so depressed? What am I giving them? And so the other is true, is I can give away what I do have. So whatever I've experienced in my life and I've been freed from, I can share that with you. I can share that with those that God brings into my path for such a time as this. And so it's so important that we abide with God to get his truth, so that whatever we're giving away, the goal is not, we're giving something away. So are we giving away our chains and our burdens, or are we giving away freedom? to people, freedom that people bring, that God brings into our midst. And the chains, is the freedom that we give to others our chains? So the chains that we get, that we accept, it's not necessarily that the enemy has the power to even make you accept these chains. He tries to get you to accept them. He lies and he tries to deceive us all day long. We can choose not to receive that and not to put them on. It's really hard. I mean, all of us have things that we believe that are not true, but we definitely need to ask God about the truth about them so that we can be healed from them. So John 10:10 says, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so the enemy is all the time looking for a way to steal your identity, kill who you are, take away the abundant life that God has for you and means for you. If Satan can get us to hate ourselves and believe lies about ourselves, he has won. We are now depressed, not operating in the power of God. He will attack our identities all day long to keep us paralyzed as well as keep us from being a powerful person in the kingdom of God. God created each of us with special gifts and talents and amazing identities for the kingdom, for a time right now, to share that with the people that God put around us, share it with his kingdom. And if the enemy can keep us from being that powerful person that God made us to be, it's over. He doesn't have to try anymore. He just lets you self-destruct, believe the lies that you're believing, and he doesn't have to work hard to keep us from that powerful person that God has made us to be. So I want to share with you the last 5 years of going from chains to being free from, I wouldn't say death, I would say more of like struggling and depressed and lonely and our family just really having a hard time, to a life that God says, I have more for you. You were made for more than that. You just have to give it to me. You just have to recognize the lies and then trust me with what I say, who I say you are. So I remember Eric groaning as he put one leg off the bed, trying to get out of bed. His body hurt so bad. He would roll out and he'd crawl to put his clothes on in so much pain that he'd stand up so he wouldn't hurt his back anymore. His body was just in so much agony. He hardly ever had a break. So we were a part of 5 different Subway franchises, stores in Eugene, Washington, the coast, Bend, like all over Oregon, and then a little bit in Washington. We were a part of ownership in some of these Subways. And he was working so hard. He would never get a break. Even on the days that we thought were our days off, he would get a call and he would have to go fix something. A manager wouldn't show up or somebody wouldn't show up. And when you have several stores that you're overseeing, you have to go. And so sometimes there would be 2 stores that wouldn't be open at one time because he can't be in 2 places at once. And so he rarely got a break. He was so stressed out. He was not able to dream anymore with God. His creativity was completely gone. All he could do was focus on getting out of bed, going to work every day. And I knew, I was like, this is not the life I signed up for. This is not the person that I know he is. This is not my husband. I didn't marry somebody that seemed so old because he couldn't do anything. His body hurt so bad from the stress. And so I pray to God, God, this has got to stop. This has got to end. I do not want this life anymore. Eric and I were at odds because I did not agree with how he's being treated in our partnership with the Subways. He's being used. His heart is so giving and service-oriented and relational and super loyal. Like, he would do anything for anybody. And so with those qualities, it's so easy to be taken advantage of. And he also wanted to serve his family by doing the best he could and working really hard to take care of us. And he did an amazing job, but it was killing him. It was not the work that I believe God had for him. the work that we do should make us more of who God made us to be, not tear us down. And then when he'd come home, we were out, as I was saying, because I didn't agree with how he was being treated. And I would challenge him about that. And he couldn't hear it because of the space we were in. And so we were just not doing well. I was working part-time and had two littles at the time. Ezra and Ella were just starting to get born and raising babies, and it was really stressful. I felt like I was a single parent working, taking care of the house, taking care of everything by myself because he was working so much and working really hard. I started believing. So with the stress, I also did not handle parenting very well. I was not calm. I was not peaceful. I was stressed out also, and I started hearing the enemy call me a bad mom. That became part of my biggest struggle, even now. Like, trusting God that he will take care of my kids in spite of me. So the enemy hammered me hard with that belief and the belief that I was a burden, that our family was a burden. Eric's an amazing person, loving husband, but in spite of those things, with the circumstances, those were the things I was struggling with. These lies that the enemy kept hammering on me. I felt dead inside, and I didn't want this kind of life anymore. I'd rather live in a cardboard box. I didn't care about Subway anymore. I wanted it to leave. I wanted it to go away. So I'd pray that God would show us how to get our life back. When I married Eric, he'd just gotten off missions in Italy, and he'd been there just on a whim, and he ended up becoming a missionary there just for fun because that's the kind of guy he is. He's very, he would listen to God. He would dream big with God. He would do amazing things with God because he could hear his voice clearly. This person that I saw was not the adventurous, creative God, like just hearing God's dreams for him person, and I wanted that back. False beliefs that the enemy gets us with come from something that is said to us by others, something that's done to us by others, something that we've done either on purpose or by accident. We take these on, and the enemy knows how they trigger us. He knows the button to push, and he knows how easy it is to start believing a lie, start believing things about ourselves that aren't true from our experiences. And so that's definitely what he'd been doing with both of us. He'd been the enemy hammering both of us with these lies and fears. What do we do if we stop Subway? What's our life going to, how are we going to provide for ourselves? How are we going to make this happen? How are we going to, mostly financial issues. So anyways, so how are we going to provide if Subway goes away? What about our future? What about the hope of retirement with all the plans that we'd been told and talked about? So there's all these fears that we had going on inside of us. Matthew 11 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I knew this verse was huge because I knew I needed to give God, my creator, the burdens that were strapped to me, that I was holding on to, the beliefs that weren't true. And he's wanting us to give them to him. He wants to take those burdens from us. He wants to actually, sometimes we think that we're supposed to bear them with him, but he also will take them and totally replace them with something else. In December of 2019, this is when things get so much better. Eric decided that he was done with Subway. My heart was so excited. I couldn't show it too much, but I was like, praise the Lord, he's answering my prayers right now. He said he was done, because we've kind of gone back and forth previously on this decision, and I always hold my full like excitement until he's really finished with doing Subway. It's really hard for him because he's so loyal. He doesn't want to let anybody down. He doesn't want to let his partners down. He doesn't want to let me down. He doesn't want to be a disappointment. And so this is a huge decision. So brave of my husband to be able to do this and say he's done. After 12 years, we've built this business with blood, sweat, and tears, and to say that we can't do it anymore. We also had some friends who became friends of ours just for the season of time. I believe there are angels, because they were older than us by 15, 20 years. They're like a mentorship type friendship. They were business owners of their own, very smart, very intelligent, very lawyer-esque. And I was like, oh my gosh, perfect. Thank you, Jesus. And so the friend of ours' qualities wasn't favored by very many people, because he's a very good businessman. But you know, all gifts that God gives us, they can be used for good or bad, right? And so for us, they were amazing. He used them for us so strongly. He saw what was happening, and he, with his passion, said, this needs to end. This needs to stop, and I will help you. I will help you get out of this scenario. And so he did. He helped us. And I thank God for them all the time. And then after it was over, they moved to California, and then we really aren't friends anymore. It's like, okay, seasons of time, God brings people into your life for that purpose, and then they can go help other people. We had no idea what we were going to do next. All we knew was that we needed to be done with this, what was currently happening in our lives. And so we had to trust God in a big way, and Eric went through with it, despite the whispers of the enemy calling him a failure, calling him a disappointment. These are huge things that he had to work through. We had to work through, who are we trusting to take care of us? Are we trusting in ourselves? Are we trusting in God? Are we trusting in Subway? Are we trusting in God? And so part of our whole new way of thinking was, what is God saying? What does he want us to do? And trusting him with that. Adventures came our way the next 5 years because of that. Very exciting things. But so in this moment, I was so excited. God was answering these prayers. We were going to move out of doing Subway. We were going to figure out a new thing, a new life with God and what he had. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He was with us. He was preparing the way. All he needed for us to do was say, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I need you. And he wanted us to not be afraid, not listen to the enemy's lies, and be afraid anymore. He wanted us to come to him and trust him and move forward into the new life. Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." One of the biggest messages in the Bible is, do not be afraid. I am with you. Because the enemy is the liar, and he is trying to get us to be afraid of everything in our lives. And if we don't listen to that, if we're not afraid and we come to him, the only way to not be afraid is if we're trusting God. So God knows that the enemy's biggest thing in our lives is lying to us, making us afraid, and keeping us from being the person he, God created us to be. So that was 2019, okay? I don't know if you remember what happened in 2020, but we'd given our partners 3 months. They kind of gave us 3 months too to like be totally done and gone. And so we're like, okay, So we looked at some tests, you know, for Eric to take aptitude tests, you know, what could he do? Because at this point in our lives, we could not hear clearly what God was saying to us. We knew that we had to be done. But as far as like being creative, God is a creator. He gives us creative new thing, new ideas, new ways of thinking, but we could not be creative yet. We are not healthy enough because our abiding and our ability to hear his voice was not very clear yet. We weren't able to be creative with him yet. So we took these tests, and we knew that Eric was super caring, really good at relational connection, and he loves helping people tell stories, which we find out later about part of his identity. Identity is storyteller. He helps people tell their stories, and he likes to take care of people. So we were like, okay, nurse. We'll try nurse, okay? We'll do that. But we didn't hear that from God. We just thought, okay, this is an avenue that could work. So we go down the CNA route, that all the science courses that he had to take to get to do the nursing program, because his first degree was in media and communications, not science at all. So he was really good at putting together videos and interviewing people. His best position with multimedia was actually interviewing people and helping people tell their story. He was really gifted at that, or is gifted at that. And so we're like, science. So he has to take all these prerequisites for science. And sorry, now I lost my train of thought. Okay, so within we decided CNA, and then 5 months went by. Sorry, I'm going back to the COVID thing. So we ended up having to give our partners 5 months because COVID hit in February. So we decided we were done in December, and then COVID hits. And we were like, oh my gosh, what a whirlwind. Everything locks down, except for he has to go and help open and close stores like weekly. It's crazy. So he's helping the best he can to keep his partner floating while we're starting a new life. Like, he's starting classes, he's doing CNA work, he's working at the hospital, and he's helping out with Subway. It was crazy. And so once we got through that first part, we felt the Lord was asking us to sell our house. Like, and we lived in Eugene. He wanted us to sell our house. We just decided to be done with the businesses and get out of that. So we felt like he was asking us to burn the ships, if you will. We're going to get rid of everything in this area, your old life. We're going to start over. So we decided to sell the house and move to the farm, which I showed you a picture of the yellow farmhouse, which was my great-grandparents' house that they built a while ago. And so the reason why I believe God wanted us to sell the house was because if we'd kept it after nursing school, it'd be easy to go back. Oh, we have a house there. We could just go back to Eugene, go back to our old life. But we didn't feel like that's what God was asking us to do. Was to have that safety net instead of him. He wanted us to totally trust him on the steps. What was next? What he had for us. Not, oh, we have a house there. We're just going to go back and do that thing again. So we sold the house, and we were trusting God as we moved to the farmhouse. I sent an email to the farm HOA and said, asked permission, hey, would it be okay if we stayed in grandma's house for 5 years? Because it's a house only for family. It's not a house to rent out. It's on the farm, busy, active farm, farming happening all the time. So it's not really a place that you can rent out to strangers. And they said, sure. And I said, 5 years. I think we'll be there 5 years. I don't know. We have no idea really, but maybe 5 years. So we'll come back to that. But it's really cool because we bought our house 5 years later. Had no idea. So COVID hit, we move, and we sold our house, and we didn't know where Eric was going to go to school. So we applied at Lane Community College, which is in Eugene, and we applied at Shemakata, which is in Salem, 15 minutes from the farm. And so we didn't know where he was going to get in, and he got into Shemakata. We also were told, you don't know if you're going to get in first year because it's really in high demand. It's really hard to get in your first year of nursing school. But he got in, first year, Chemeketa. So we're like, okay, God, this is working. Like, you have a plan, and we're taking it one step at a time, and it's working. All the while, God is also working out other details of freedom for us. He wanted us to really experience getting our identities back, knowing who we were, and having a free life from the tactics of the enemy, so that in the future, we knew what to do about that. We knew how to handle those burdens, how to handle the fears that came up. One of the ways that God gave us a new way of thinking, or a new somebody that could help us, were Jamie and Donna Winship, who spoke about identity. They actually have Identity Exchange that they started. And so we started listening to their podcasts and gobbling it up, because that's what we needed. We needed a new way of thinking, a new way of knowing who we were and who God made us to be. We needed our creativity back. So Jamie and Donna talk about their intuitive mind, the intuitive mind of perceiving from God and hearing God, not necessarily like a audible voice, but like, how do each of us perceive God and hear from God? We all have our own way of doing that. And so they talk about that. And so we both wanted to find out, how do we experience God? How do we hear God's voice personally for us? What is he saying to us? So God is the creator, and he wants to create with us. And perceiving what he's saying, understanding who he is and who we are, he wants to create new with us. He wants our lives to have new fruit. He wants us to have an abundant life. And so he's always inviting us into new ways of thinking. God says, I know what you see. I know what you see. But what do I see? Ask me who you are. Ask me what the truth is. God designed us to walk and talk with him in the garden. He yearns for that again with each one of us, to walk and talk with us and to actually hear what he's saying, perceive what he is saying. That's why I have pictures. Some people perceive or hear from God through pictures. Some people through songs. Some people through many other ways. Who knows? Everybody's different. I'm very visual, so visual helps me. So as we're going down this path of identity exchange, and Eric going through first year, we were learning how to exchange the lies of the enemy and fight for our identities so that we didn't self-destruct. The enemy is fighting so hard for identities so that we just self-destruct and we have no power in the kingdom anymore. John 10:3 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He has names for us. Paul to Saul. Gideon, he called him a mighty man of valor when he didn't believe it. Who are we? What does he call us? Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God is the only one who can really transform our mind. When we talk to him about our burdens and listen to what he says about them, that is what changes our life. God will give you an exchange. He will give you the truth when you give him the lie. His greatest desire is for you to be free from the enemy's lies so you can transform into the amazing creation he made you to be. He does not see the person you created or the enemy created. That person doesn't exist, because he only sees who he created. That's what exists. So we need to exchange those burdens for the truth. So I need to go quickly because I'm almost supposed to be done. So some cool things about this process is that Eric's name, things that God has given Eric are, God calls him a peaceful champion storyteller. Okay, so champion in the sense that he champions other people. He wants to bring the best out of somebody else by helping them tell their stories. And through nursing, I believe he's starting to learn how to do that. Obviously, he can't just come out and have God conversations, but he's learning like code language, I guess, at the hospital. And then Ezra, his name so far is Loved Creator. He's very creative. And I think there's something in there also about fun maker. He makes fun wherever he goes. He has to have fun wherever he goes. And so he creates it for people around him, whether it's chaos or not. Ella's name right now is and will continue to grow is Princess Azalea. We looked up Azalea. She didn't know what the flower meant or what it even was. And so I showed her in the yard what an azalea was. And we looked up the definition of it. And it's a protected one, protective flower. And she felt like God was saying to her that she's protected and she can protect others. And she does that. She protects me all the time. And then my name is Tenacious Daughter. Treasured Daughter, Tenacious Creator, Regenerator. So I had a false belief about myself about being too much. You're too much. My brothers would tell me, you're just too much, because I'm very goal-oriented. And so I would have to talk. I talked to God about that, and he gave me a replacement for it, which is tenacious. And so I'm very goal-oriented and tenacious. And then I love to create and regenerator in the way of I love to create with God and use what he's already created to do more with him, to spur it on, like regenerate it to do more, make more or multiply what he's provided. So those are the names that we've been given over the last couple of years of practicing this. One exciting thing, there's a couple exciting things, but I can only share probably a couple or one. In 2022, we were in between Eric's first year and second year of nursing school, and we had this summer that he could either get a job, you know, go work at the hospital, which is what he's going to be doing for probably many years to come, or we could do something creative with it, with that time that God had given us. And so we asked God, what do you have for us this summer? We had to decide kind of in December. We were looking forward to the summer. What are we going to do with that break time? While we were working with Subway and doing that, we had a card that had airline miles on it, and we'd never used it because we couldn't go anywhere. We literally could not travel or go anywhere for 12 years. We couldn't even go to the beach for a night and it not be stressful. So we had all these miles saved up. And oh my gosh, there's so many links to this I didn't get to. But in our earlier, before during Subway and before Subway, we felt like we might spend some time in South America at some point in our life. Like, not necessarily living there, but helping a community of people there and frequenting it, not just a one and done, but like a place that we could make a difference and actually get to know people there and help serve what they needed and know what they needed and help out however they needed. And so that's one of the reasons, I don't think I mentioned this yet, but Ezra was in a Spanish immersion school in Eugene because we thought, well, it'd be a good thing for him to know and learn it starting in kindergarten instead of old like me when I'm struggling trying to learn a language. And so we had him in a Spanish immersion school. So in 2022 or 2021, I'd met a woman who wanted me to design her house. And she was telling me about her daughter, Megan, who lived in Costa Rica. She'd married a pastor down there, and they had three kids that were at the time in grade school and middle school. And so I just kind of put that in my back pocket. Wow, that's really interesting. I asked her so many questions. I was asking her about what they did, you know, how they got down there, what the scenario was. And so when we had this summer to decide what we were going to do with it, God brought that back up again. And so I contacted Mary and was asking her, could we go down and help Megan and Pastor Christian somehow in their church? And she was so excited because during COVID, they'd closed down all the helpers that would go down there and help them. Nobody was able to go. And literally when we I think it was within the weeks of us deciding to go and help her, they'd open the ability to buy tickets to go down there because COVID, everything was shut. So we had enough tickets with our subway miles to get 3 tickets. And then during December, they were running this huge sale, so we could buy the last ticket for a really discounted price. But we didn't know the rest of the story. Like, how are we going to live down there? Where are we going to stay? How are we going to travel? We didn't know, but we got the tickets. We were like, okay, God, this is a huge test of faith for us. We were like, okay, you're going to plan the rest of this. We'll take it one step at a time. And if the tickets, we just can't go, then whatever, we'll just not go. So it ended up that as we were getting excited for the trip, there was some finance that came in just because somebody was excited that we were doing this. They donated some funding for us to go. And then we also had tax money that came in. We're like, oh my gosh, it's coming together. There is finance and God's providing for it. And so we went for a month to Costa Rica and we worked really hard during that time. We got to meet Pastor Christian and Megan and their whole community. And now we're on their board for His Wonders Southern Costa Rica. So Eric's the president of the board and I'm a board member. And we helped them brainstorm how to serve and how to take care of them while they're doing amazing things in Southern Costa Rica. So anyways, they're just things. And when you step out in faith and you say yes to God, you don't know all the plans. God doesn't tell you all the plans that are going to happen. If he tells us all the things that have to be done before you step out in faith, you won't do it. There's so many scary things that could keep you fearful. He doesn't tell you all the details. He just says, trust me, I'll take care of it. So that was one of our fun, trusting things that Eric used to do all the time before we got married. And now I'm seeing him come alive again and to dream again and to step out in faith again and do these things.